This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hi all, I'm Richie Swan and I'm with Harriet Jeffries and we're also known as A Girl and A Gay in the Gym. Today's episode is a little bit different. We've got guests, Katie and Chris are with us. We met about 14 years ago, probably it was at LA Fitness, and obviously paths cross, come in and go out kind of thing, and where they are now, the story that they've got to tell, their life's in a completely different place, and it'll be really interesting listening.
We used to train all the time because at the time, I don't know if you want us, but we were going through IVF, so we needed to lose weight in order to... So it wasn't just normal IVF though, it was kind of like we knew Chris had a gene where his bones would like... There's loads of... He could have got cancer from and he could have... They kept growing. So in order for us to have a baby, we thought we'll
take... What kept growing?
His bones kept growing and there's like... It's a genetic disorder.
So it's a bone disorder called multiple exostoses. And I've had many operations. First operation when I was 18 months old. And I've had them right the way throughout my life. I've had external fixators on my arms.
Is that like a brace kind of thing? Do you like...
No, believe it or not, Rich. The external fixator is... it's a big, massive... pin frame, quite common on the legs, but I had one on my arm, and I had one for 6 months. I was 18 at the time, and never forget it.
Is it all these screws going into
yes,
the bone?
Yes, that's it, yeah.
Do you know what? I remember when I was a kid, I used to have dislocated knees, and I remember there was a kid who used to have them on, and she used to scream, getting them.
Was it painful, was it?
Yeah. Well, no, it weren't painful as such, or what it was, as I say, I was 18 at the time, and I was still an older day, and I had an external fixator on my arm. They were quite common on the legs, but the surgeon had done it. I was the first person in the UK to have one other than my leg, and it was on my arm.
So it was a whole like trial.
It was a whole trial and error thing, yeah. So basically, he put one on my left, on my right arm, to straighten it out, and it was on for 6 months.
Why was that? Were they growing where they wouldn't go straight?
Yeah, so they grow out, and it makes my arm look a little bit deformed, and my legs.
Yeah.
So I've had over 20 operations, but the external fixator one, I had it on for 6 months, and I used to have to turn the screw every day, 4 times a day, and it was a quarter each time.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and it was on for 6 months, and believe it or not, what it done was it straightened out one bone and lengthened the other bone, so it straightened my arm completely. It was unbelievable.
Have you got any satellite effects from...
No.
So you completely limbs are...
Well, as I say, I could most probably go on all day sort of thing, but I used to, at the time I did martial arts, and I remember I was 18, I was going out to nightclubs with it on, and the bouncers were looking at me. I always never forget it. And the bouncers looked at me and was like, "You can't come in with that, mate." And I went, "Listen, mate," I said.
Is that what he said to you?
Yeah, he said, "You can't come in with that for insurance reasons." I went, "Look, mate, it doesn't hurt me at all." And it really
did
never, because
like
it was a frame. Yet. I went in and had a good night. Nothing ever stopped me from it.
Yeah.
And I did martial arts, got that off, carried on doing my martial arts.
Never restricted any
part. Not restricted.
How long did
I refused
you have it on
it.
For?
6 months.
But it's a genetic bone disorder that we found out later on.
Who had that in the family?
Well, my dad had it very mildly. My brother had it very mildly. I had it quite severely.
So you had the...
So
most,
I had the most of it.
You know, saying that now, though, I would never tell.
No, you
okay,
wouldn't.
So
looking at you.
You would never tell. But if it got down, stripped down to me boxes and showed you, you'd be like, "Oh my God,
we're gonna do it now."
But I'm
just still doing his belt.
We'll pause the podcast.
Wait there. Oh, that's his pants on the floor.
This is getting all excited there. But no, you wouldn't tell. But then you would totally if he showed you by the visions of it. So then, growing up, then we decided, obviously, what I'd got. It was 50-50 on whether it get passed on to kids. And it was a flick of a coin. So I remember speaking to a surgeon and said, "Look, I was looking to have a family. Do we need to do anything?"
Yeah.
And he basically said it was 50-50. You could have 4 kids with it all or 4 kids with none. He said, "What we can do is we can find the glitch in the gene and you go through IVF." And we were like...
So what, they removed the gene?
So what they done, over the last 5 years, so obviously Rue's 9 months now, so 4 years before Rue come along, we were going down. Rue's our new baby, 9 months old. So before Rue come along, me and Kate Kate more than me really, has had to have some intrusive therapy through the IVF. And basically what they've done is they found the glitch of the gene, they found out what I've got, they found the glitch, and just say it was called GK47. And what they done is we went down to London through IVF. But before all, where the London come from, is when we first went down there, we both needed to make some lifestyle changes for ourselves. So we both needed to get into shape, into fitness for the IVF.
And that's where the spin classes come in and all.
And that's where the spin classes, and then obviously meeting back up with yourself has come back into.
So you could have naturally tried to have kids, but you had to have IVF to get the gene removed. So it wasn't that you weren't struggling to have kids.
Just to get this gene removed. I mean, who wants to put a baby? I couldn't do a baby there. I'd be on the floor.
So it's a brave thing to do, though. It is really brave, because I know, like, people say, talking about having a baby as if, like, oh, right, so you're going to come off the pill or you're going to have sex one night and that's it. Yeah. Because you spend, you know, your teen years, your early 20s or whatever, trying not to get pregnant.
Yeah.
When you actually realise how hard it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Poor Luke, my husband, he was absolutely exhausted. It was a military operation.
I think your dad's, you're scared and you're going home telling your dad that you're pregnant. And then your dad's like, when are you having kids? When you're having kids, you're just like,
But I think it got to the point as well as that we could have had kids natural, but in this day and age, when I grew up, it weren't too bad. You just deal with it. But social I had a lot of friends and family that were knew it, and it weren't really as bad.
Yeah.
Now with social media, if I went through what I went through when social media was about, I reckon just with this day and age, you know, horrible people are.
Do you think people would be more understanding?
Yeah, I think
you have a lot of understanding.
Kids are cruel.
Yeah, some kids are cruel.
But you know what, right? I train a lot of teachers who say they've got transgender kids in school and they're accepted, do you know what I mean? Like, as if there's no problem. Where I remember there was a lad who come out as being gay and got battered every day for his school life. And I go,
hottest.
So from what I know from teachers who I train, they're like, saying how inclusive schools are now, and how it's,
I think,
like,
the internet has definitely exposed kids to, like, understand a lot more stuff, and kids are a lot more streetwise. Like, my sister, I mean, she's old, like, she's nearly 17, but she was absolutely furious during the general election. I didn't even know what a general election was at that age, but she was furious last week. She couldn't vote and she was furious, and she knew more than I did and sat me down and explained everything to me. I mean, maybe I'm a bit thick, but she did, and, like, kids know so much more
because of the internet.
It's because I think sometimes it's fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Fear of something they don't understand. Whereas now people understand a lot more because they're exposed to so much more.
I think as well, being a parent, you're going to be naturally a lot more protective than you are of yourself.
Yeah.
So I think you're probably looking to it a lot more deeper than you would have if it was you dealing with it. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely,
because you just had to deal with it and get on with it.
Yeah.
Where you'd probably feel like how your parents felt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's
like
true,
how
yeah.
you were having to deal. Like, they probably took on the strain.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
So you felt like it was all great because they made you go, oh, it's fine, you're normal, blah, 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 which you were.
Mm.
But you'd have to do that then if you never went through the IVF for someone, if that potentially happened the same, isn't it? Is that what we're saying?
No, definitely.
So you know this, did this pass on to you through your dad's side? Yeah.
It's all genetic.
What was your dad's opinion when you decided to have the IVF to not pass it on to your baby?
When I first got with Chris, no one knew about it. He didn't know. And then he got really not well one day, and we went and got a scene too. And then that's when it all came out. In your later years, no one knew about the condition. No one knew. And I think...
Oh, so even when you were having all the bone treatments?
No one have always had the bone treatment, but there was a bit of underlying stuff that we didn't really know or understand a lot about.
The genetic process. The genetic process, when he's older.
Yeah.
So that's why we decided to have the IVF, to take her out of Rue. So then we're training, I'm losing the weight, and Chris isn't.
So I was going to say, let's take this to the next level.
Yeah.
So then
he wasn't losing weight, so I'm going, are you messing about? You're going out with your mates.
Secret teaser.
You're on the beer, you're going out with your mates. This is our last, there's two of us here. And he's like, I swear I'm not, I'm like, you are. So we get pregnant.
Did you just have murder?
Proper murder. I'm starving to death here. So yeah, 5 months into it, Chris still isn't losing weight. And I'm like, you're having a laugh now. And we're like, that's it, there's murder. And you go to the doctors one day, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, I had a scan, didn't I?
Yeah,
so we had a scan of me. I had an MRI scan of my pancreas.
Routine scan that
he gets. It's a routine scan for my stomach, which you get, which is part of the whole condition of it all. So I had an MRI scan of my pancreas, and I got a letter through the door saying, do you want an MRI in my pelvis? So I was like, that's a bit strange. I wonder what that's for. Anyway, didn't think anything of it. Then I got another letter through to say I had an appointment date with a trauma and orthopaedic consultant. Anyway, when I went to see the trauma and orthopaedic consultant, he said, from the routine scan of your pancreas, we found a shadow on your pelvis. So we were like, okay, so what does that mean? He went, I don't really want to say too much at the moment. He said, let's do the scan and let's get it all
Did
done
Did you by. Automatically have that thought?
Oh, yeah,
you,
massively.
When they say shadow, you
massively
go,
shadow yeah, yeah. On a pelvis area. It's a bone. Pelvis yeah, is yeah, a yeah. bone. I'm always just waiting, thinking, when am I going to get cancer? I thought I would have got off.
So you'd already thought that, had
you? Oh, yeah, massively,
And
yeah.
it is a side effect of the condition, or it's something that can it's come the from the condition.
It's something that is very... can be very prominent. I mean, I've got a bone disorder called multiple exostoses. If you look at that, sarcoma and cancer are one of the highest risks. So it's like waking up one day going, when am I going to get it?
So what happens after, so you then go in, you go for your x-ray or whatever it is?
So I got the MRI scan of the pelvis and then I went back. I had to wait 2 weeks for the results. So I got it was the worst wait ever.
2 weeks. When was this? How long ago?
So this was in November. So
just this year gone?
No, November last year.
So 2018.
November 2018. Kate was 5 months pregnant.
So you were 5 months pregnant at the time?
So then they pulled us in and they sent us to the cancer clinic and he's going, it's all right, it's fine. Then they pulled us in. We were like, we got there.
I was sort of trying to play it down, but in the back of my mind, I knew what was going on.
They just took us straight in. And a Macmillan nurse come in and I just knew.
Oh my God.
It was still just nothing. It weren't cancer or anything at that point. So
what was it?
So what they'd done, they said, okay, so what we need to do is we need to refer you to a
bone
centre.
So they still give you no answers?
Still didn't tell me it was cancer at this point.
But Liverpool don't have funding, so they can't confirm nor deny.
What
do
you mean?
They don't have funding to deal with this type of cancer, a sarcoma, so you'd have to be referred.
So there's four treatment centres in the UK. There's one in Oswestry, Birmingham, Oxford and London. So he said to me, I'm going to transfer you to Oswestry. Believe it or not, that was the closest. It's about an hour and 10 minutes away. So I went for a biopsy. So the biopsy was just a needle straight into my pelvis. Anyway, I had to wait for the results for that. And it was about a week. It was the 10th of November. And the reason why I remember the date that he told me, because it was the anniversary of my dad and my brother, who also died on the 10th of November. Not on the same year.
Your dad and your brother?
My dad and my brother both died on the 10th of November in separate years.
Piss off.
Honest to God, it was completely crazy. So I went in with the consultant and he said, I need to sit you down, bloody bro. He said, it is bone cancer. Back of my head, hit the floor, you hit the floor. And I was like, I'm 36. Said, what do we need to do? Let's deal with this. I said, I've dealt with this all my life. I said, this is the worst I've had to deal with. You're not going to get any worse than this. What do we need to do? He did say, sort of like, don't worry. He went, it's no radiotherapy, no chemotherapy. It's pure surgery.
You've had no chemo?
I've had no chemo or radio.
So that's a plus, I suppose,
It's pure surgery.
In terms of a shit situation, almost in a way, it is a blessing in disguise that you didn't have to have chemo or radio, because if you'd been that sick while you were pregnant or having the baby, you wouldn't have done it.
In terms of what treatment would they do then? Because if that's 2018 and we're now, what, over 18 months later, is it?
What happened there is found out I got it on Oswestry and then had the biopsy to find out it was, and then it was a tumour about, I want to say, just a bit bigger than a tennis ball size. It was on both sides of the pelvis.
But it had spread.
When you say both
front.
Sides, like left and right?
Yeah,
or
left
and...
left and right. You've got your balls and your pelvis. It was on both sides.
That's what the fat was, which isn't fat, it's cancer.
So he wasn't a secret eater.
He wasn't a secret eater, that's why I was like, I'm dead, sorry. God love him, I'll put him on a diet for 18 months.
Oh my God.
From Oswestry, he said, what we're going to do is we're going to transfer you to Birmingham. They've got the navigation software to do the operation. It's a big operation. He said, but they've got this software and it's a bit like a sat nav. You punch in the area of where you want it to go and you get it and you take it out. And it's the safest possible way to do it. You're going to have a couple of lifestyle changes afterwards, he said, but it'll be worth it.
So what are the lifestyle changes at risk for this?
Just basically, like, I'm not going to be able to be as active as what I wanted to be. But you know what? I believe it's all mind over matter. I could have gone home and sat on the couch and thought, I'm 36, I've got cancer, what am I going to do? I've never lived like that. I said, right, let's hit it head on.
Yeah.
So I come out and told all my family, everyone was sort of like on the floor and stuff like that. But I was like, look, what can we do? We've got to hit it head on.
He said to us, you don't know you've got this cancer, it's so rare, until you start feeling pains and it's too late.
Oh yeah.
Have you had any pain? So he's like, no. He said, so the next thing is, if it goes to your lungs, it is only a matter of time. There's nothing you can really do for the lungs. So we need to do all of them tests. But it's going to be about a month or two before we can do them tests.
What? You so have to wait we a month like, for the tests? Why?
It was on top of Christmas as
we
well.
We were going to go private as well, weren't we? But that couldn't have even speeded up the process.
No, so we had to wait to see if it was on his lungs and stuff, and then I'd possibly deal with that. So in the meantime, they shot us down to Birmingham, didn't they? And we were in Birmingham for quite a bit. I had a bag packed because I was ready to drop.
We were going to Birmingham, like, every other week, sort of getting stuff sorted. And then basically what they done was they said, right, okay, so 4th of February this year, we're going to operate on you. I was like, right, okay.
So that was 2019.
2019.
Yeah. Just to check in, how far pregnant, how far
baby
gone?
Was due the 7th of March.
Right, so a few weeks before, 3 weeks before.
Yeah. Wow. So what? We obviously went down to Birmingham with family, stayed in the hotel down there, which our friends had sorted out. And we were joking with the hospital people going, I hope some of yous can deliver a baby. And they were all like, oh, no, please, don't be dropping here. Anyway, cut a long story short, had me operation, come out in intensive care afterwards. And he said to me, I'd be in for 2 weeks. I was in for 10 days. I smashed it. I really did, because I had no choice and I thought, I'm going to do it. I had to.
Do you think her being so heavily pregnant really motivated you to get
massive
well?
Knowing you were going to be a dad.
I can't just sit round knowing the personality Kate's got. She won't let me just sit round and gloat over it or get on with it. Do you know what I mean?
She won't let me just sit here and have cancer.
but that's the best thing about it.
Hey, stop being dramatic. Get up and get the house cleaned.
But another thing is as well, I wanted
a lightweight Dyson.
I was determined to walk out with the baby. So I got home, arrested, and I got to the hospital, and they told me to partial weight bear. And again, I just found out I was walking round, and they were going to me, get on your crutches. I will. And in the end, I won the battle and walked out with the baby on one crutch.
Behave
carrying
now.
The baby, yeah. So I got out, done it all, went home and rested and recovered.
Let's just go back, because when did you start doing group PT? You come back to exercise and you through all of this. Because you had quite a bit of time out then, didn't you?
Yeah, so I think, when did you start your one? It was like...
Was it October or September?
September, I think, yeah. Come back to group PT.
And you could see that you were stressed when you come, like, no.
I needed something to batter, yeah. I needed something just to get it out of me kind of thing, because I'd gone from going in the gym every 7 o'clock in the morning to having a baby to looking after Chris to nothing. So to be in a group and to be...
So not just being a mum, the stress of what's going to happen with my partner.
And it was looking after me every day, because I couldn't do nothing. And it was hard, because I'm not the one to sit round and let everyone do everything for me.
But I just think God was like, she's on maternity, we're going to give her something to do.
So how did you find that exercise helped you in that kind of, with your mind, with the situation?
I just needed to get whatever was in me out of me, because I was just so pissed off with life. Do you know what I mean?
Like, oh God, completely.
It was a high of having this baby that you fought for 4 years, and then to deal with that, and it's just like, it's cruel. Life's cruel sometimes, but you just need to get on with it.
Yeah.
So I think my class PT was just, I was with people I'd never met before, a good group of girls.
Yeah, you were.
Yourself was just like positive Sally of a morning. It's a breath of fresh air. You don't know how you're welcome. And Richie is just, I always say it, don't I? He's bossing. He's just bossing of a morning.
Do you feel like going back to the gym a little bit?
Well,
gave
start,
you that little hour to have a breather as well.
Massively. And then it's mad because you're getting up at 6 o'clock to go to the gym for 7, but your day is bob on because you are so constructive that day.
Yeah.
It's just...
And then you started doing spin again, haven't you now?
Yeah, back in with it and stuff, so I love it, I just...
The group BTs has helped... It's helped me as well, because... I need Kate at 110%. If Kate has no sleep or anything like that, then she's goosed like we all are, do you know what I mean? So she's gone and done her exercises. That's it, done out for the day. Then she's come home. She's on top of everything. So then she's looking after
she's
me.
She's just got to clear her mind.
She's just got to clear her mind to do stuff, and everything gets done. It's unbelievable. Like.
So right now, sitting here talking, are you 100% cancer-free?
I got the phone call last week off this one to say all of the tumour was low-grade. And
they got everything.
They got it all out. So I said to the Macnella nurse on the phone, so that's me cancer-free then, isn't it? And she went, yeah, suppose it is. I was like, Jesus
Christ.
Was
it mad to sink in?
It's still weird. It's still, I don't know, I don't need any consoling over it.
18 months, I still feel like I'm on the back foot because it's been enough shit to go through. I'm like, they're just dead blasé about the job. Mm. Like, they go, yeah, that's it, all right then.
But I think have that's nice good, they've got to be like that, because you can't be emotional with it, can you?
Yeah, it's almost as if now, if they've been so casual with you, that's because they're not worried about you now.
Yeah.
You're done and dusted. Good. Mm. And then, all right, go on, next one, draw.
I know, but it's like, nice in it's, a way. Like so, it's like you're waiting for something to catch up on you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But it's nothing's going to catch up on me now, because that's me cancer free, that's me ready to hit, and I'm not the one for like 2020 sort of like new year, new me. None of that. Definitely none of that. But 2019 was an amazing year because Rue was born. We'd waited
and you got cancer
4
free.
Years for Rue. Well, I got cancer in 18, got cancer free in 19. So 2020 now, just go into a new year, live positive life. Mind, living life, and we are, yeah.
You've been forced to wake up to life and realise how short it is
and
how important it is, and how you have to just embrace every night. And I think I love how the attitude is, you have took that positive from it and gone, I do live once, I have got to make memories, I have got to live my life for exactly what it is, because we all know none of us are going to be here forever.
Exactly.
And you've just had that reminder to go, fucking live it.
Yeah.
What does 2020 have in store for you as a couple, as a family?
Well, we're starting off, we're going to, so again, we've sacrificed a lot. We've got a good family, good friends, we've got the baby, we've got a nice house.
Just to be a normal couple and just normal, live normal without shooting up and down to Birmingham or hospitals.
But we like our holidays normal, as well, don't we? So we went away with the first time and baby in June to Spain. I had to not go away in Cyprus in August in case I got a phone call to go in hospital. So, you know, we live for holidays like a lot of people do. So we're going away to Thailand for 2 weeks, me, Kate and the baby, which again, just going to be a massive sort of, wow, blow up. What?
Relax.
What's just happened to us in the last 18 months sort of thing?
It does sound that boring, but just to be normal. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Just to have a normal...
It's the nicest thing in the world.
Yeah, instead of just being in hospitals and just like, you can have the baby while we're away for these 2 days, and just to be normal.
I think it's amazing just to appreciate what normal is.
It is.
And what a year to kind of like bring a new life into the world, but new also decades. To like...
Yeah, that's a Richie thing that he says, it's a new decade!
But again, I think... And I'm not just sounding a bit cliche because you're here as well, but, you know, I've rode all this with Kate, and Kate's changes has been going back into spin and going in the gym. So for me to see her happy on what she's doing, like up at 6 o'clock in the morning, going in, coming in, going, that was boss, that was great. Like, we did this and we did that. I've smashed it, I've done this. So I'm like, keep on doing what you're doing and I'll keep on doing what I'm doing.
You know, going forward now, you know, in terms of like looking after yourselves and looking after your body and like really making sure, do you think your attitudes towards like what you eat and what you drink and your exercise has changed?
Unbelievably. I mean, so when this all come about, obviously, you hear all about stories about the cannabis oil and CBD oil and alkaline diets and everything else. And I did all of that. I got the cannabis oil at the very beginning. I wouldn't know whether it worked because I had it in. I got the operation so quickly, but
the second phase,
it's done something for me. It was amazing, the stuff I got.
Yeah.
Alkaline based diet.
I've gone from the alkaline based water.
For anyone who doesn't know, what is an alkaline based diet?
So an alkaline based diet is like I have alkaline water, fishes for your proteins, your nuts, and basically just trying to cut out as much crap as possible.
Because they say the cancer can't develop or grow more in an alkaline environment. Yeah. So anything acidic is it's acidic.
So your acidic, so your fruits and everything, your oranges, your lemons and stuff. So where you go acidic, neutral, alkaline, where our diet's more of an alkaline base. So on the scale? 9 points, isn't it? For your water, 9.4 on water. So if he has a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, we've got alkaline waters. It's just now it's just not about taking a chance. Don't let it grow. Have that alkaline diet.
I mean, to be honest, it's changed massively. You know, one of the biggest things of cancer, what everyone says, is it feeds from sugar. Now, it's hard to cut sugar out your diet. I won't lie, I still have like a cake in that. But why wouldn't you? However, we have, you know, beforehand anyway, we always sort of try to live a healthy lifestyle anyway, because I say we both train. So what's the point in training and eating crap? So we always eat quite good anyway. It just means that we're a lot more, like, we go around, we try to eat as much organic products more than anything. And I definitely think through cancer has become more prominent over the last couple of years, and I definitely think it's through the food chains. So all of this organic and alkaline stuff, people will go, oh, it's just a fad, or it's just something that...
Yeah, but they've never had to go through what
you've
gone through.
No, I don't think it is. It's controversial, but I think it's massively true. I think a lot of the cancers have come from the food chains. You know, you see a lot of like vegans, vegetarians, your red meats and stuff like that. You know, you see people like don't eat as much red meat, and I've tried to cut out as much as possible, but I can't cut it all out, I'll be honest, you know what I mean? But I've made a massive change, and it has helped.
That's amazing. It's almost like where we talk about like 80% of the time you want to be on it, and 20% of the time have a bit of a rest. Mm. Well, for you, if 80% of the time you were alkaline, overall, nothing would be able to grow because it would still be an alkaline environment.
Exactly.
So it is amazing. Yeah. So as a little bit of a close... Do you think going through something like this together as a couple has made you appreciate each other?
Massively.
Even more?
100%.
I mean, we've been 100%. Together for... I'm going to get a kick now, aren't I? Is it 12 years or 13 years? But other than that, you know, away from how long you've been together, whether it's 12 years or whether it's a year, you know, what we've been through is everything together. And yeah, you do realise, you're like, wow, I've got my family now. And I've changed my mindset, changed completely. I've come off social media because I've put more time into my family and that. I've just had the Instagram. I used to be on there all the time. I used to wind people up all day and I had loads of time on my hand. But now I appreciate if that's irrelevant to all that to me now. Now I appreciate my family. Not that I didn't appreciate them anyway, but now it's a lot better.
Yeah, your mindset changes.
Yeah, massively. Yeah.
Oh, that was amazing.
Well, nice, wasn't it? Joe, thanks so much for coming.
Well, thanks for having us anytime. I really enjoyed that. It's good to talk about it to other people. And
thanks for looking after us. Yeah. Asking every Wednesday how I am and stuff. Thank you, Richie.
Boss. Okay, so question time. First one's for you, babe, because we've got also another Harriet from Chelmsford, and she said she's had a baby recently and she's feeling a bit anxious getting back into exercise. How did you feel getting back into it?
I thought going off to have the baby that I would be dying to get back because I exercised until the day before I had it.
Like literally, wasn't it?
Literally the day.
You were doing tap backs and spin the day before.
I know, I was trying to make my waters go in.
I was on edge.
And I thought I was going to really want to jump back into it, but by the time I got to the 6 weeks, I was ready to go back in a way that I thought, I know I need to do it and I know long term it'll make me feel better, but I was absolutely terrified because everything, my whole body was different. I'll be honest, one of the things I was really scared about, I was scared, what if I was going to go back and, you know, people talk about having a baby and you lose your pelvic floor and you lose this and you lose that. Well, I was like, am I going to go into the gym and piss myself? Yeah, that I was worried about. And I thought, God, am I going to piss myself in front of everybody here and blah, blah, blah. So what I did, I went to, there's a place in Liverpool called the Physiotherapy Centre and they do pre and postnatal physiotherapy. But there's loads all over the country. And I basically went and had like a postnatal check as soon as I got to 6 weeks. Now, I had a natural delivery with Lola. If you have a C-section, then you have to wait a bit longer. You have to wait 12, 15 weeks. But yeah, at 6 weeks, I went and got a check. And she basically had a good feel of my tummy, had a feel of my pelvic floor, did a few little tests on me. And it cleared me and said, you know, just start slowly. And I started with you, didn't I? Because I felt comfortable. But my tip would be, get back into it as soon as you can, but get checked by a physio first, not just a doctor, someone that's specific into it, because they will tell you what your body is ready to do. Okay, so we've got Ben from South London. He has messaged
Shut up.
He has messaged us saying he's been trying to grow his bum loads. Why, Benny boy?
I like big butts in a candle.
And basically, Ben said he's been doing loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of squats, but he doesn't really feel like his butt is changing. Why?
So I'd probably say maybe do a bit more isolated glute work, so glute bridges. Mm-hmm. Yeah, deadlifts would be good for that. But also, it depends how much you challenge yourself. You could be doing squats, glute bridges, lunges, deadlifts, whatever, all day long, but if you're not progressively overloading it and increasing your weight and challenging yourself enough to make it grow, then babe, what are you doing?
I would say do some activation at the start as well, like get a resistance band if you type into Google like glute loop or resistance band, do some glute activation at the start and change to hip thrusts. Start with quite a comfortable weight and have a little look on Instagram at a guy called Brett Contreras. He is the glute master.
You've been listening to Hattie Jeffries, also known as the Gym Bird, and Richie Swan, also known as Richie Swan, on A Girl and a Gay in the Gym. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, rate and review it on Apple Podcasts now to help more people hear about it. And don't forget to follow the socials at Girl Gay Gym on Instagram and Twitter. Cheers.